Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 215. This is the conclusion, part two, to Don't Faint. Today is Sunday, October 9th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, you come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, you're going to want to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify the household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. When you get to Pastor Paul's, you're going to see a lot of people, a lot of food. There's food outside that is on the curb. You can help yourself to that. There's bread, usually cases of perishable vegetables. When you get inside, you're going to see Pastor Paul, who's selling food very inexpensively for $1, $2 for a case of vegetables, a case of juice, like that. You're going to see a counter where you're going to register for groceries. So come on over to the counter and just let us know that you are new, and we will get you a form to get you started. You're also going to see all of the food that we give away, lots of perishable foods, lots of frozen foods, free breads, juices. So be prepared to carry a lot of food. Register for Pastor Paul's Club and be sure to ask about the VIP Club. This month is the month of October. Here is the lineup for Pastor Paul's podcast. Don't Faint. Works. You got to have faith. Pray and see. Those are the messages for the month of October. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. You're going to want to go to the show notes, which is at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of the scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his messages. Have a great month of October. Minnesota right now is absolutely beautiful. God bless you.
You want to take the yoke of your troubles and put them on? Strangle yourself to death? Do you want your troubles wrapped around your neck like so much seaweed in the belly of the whale or fish? No. Let me tell you, if from, I think, a great amount of experience from being in ministry, and one that's controversial, must say, that the only rest that you can have, and you listen to me, preacher, the only rest that you can have is when you are faint and yet you pursue and yet you go on. And even when you're under a whole lot of strain like these Gideon army here. But there are times when you have to put forth a superhuman effort. On special occasions, you have to go the second mile. I remember in some of these packouts, now we had the P-9ers in the last one, so it went along, you know. But I remember at 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning, and Jim, you remember, everybody was so tired and faint, and oh, we still got 5,000 bags of turkey to put in the bags. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord, help us. Can we just lay down someplace? Oh, God, my legs, my arms. And we try to act, are you tired? No, I'm not tired. Oh, no. And you're faint, yet you're pursuing. And the next day, when the miracle happens, see, the miracle happens after you're faint, yet you're pursuing, and you go on. Now the miracle happens. People come in like it was nothing. Hey! They got more turkey than I did! I'm not kidding! Yeah, twice as much! I said, well, they stole out of somebody's bag. What do you want me to do about it? I'm not a police, you know. How do you know at that very point you could blow the whole thing? How many do blow the whole thing? They get up to the point of victory and they blow it. Get out, everybody! I hate y'all! I've been up all night! Oh, hey! You're faint, yet you're pursuing, and you have on the yoke of Christ. You don't have on your own madness. Huh? You ever try to wear your madness around your neck and act like you didn't have it? How many, you know why? The world is pretty smart. They say, oh boy, have they got a mad on today. Well, what is it? It's they're wearing their mads. Mad at this person and that person, mad, I am, and ooh, I'm like, oh, how I'd love to give them a knuckle sandwich. Have you thought that this week, about giving someone a knuckle sandwich? How many have thought that this week? I confess, I did think it. One of the people I was thinking of giving a knuckle sandwich was myself. Yeah. You know why? Because I want to give somebody else a knuckle sandwich. At least I'm convictable. Are you hearing this though? Feet yet pursuing. And you just, I can't go another. If somebody says one word, I'll freak out. I know it. Oh. Huh? Do you ever feel that way in your shop? And you'd see a certain ding-a-ling, the bell would ding-a-ling, and a certain person would come in. All smiley. You knew exactly what they were going to say. And you knew exactly what you were going to say too, but you didn't say it. That's good. Maybe somebody else got it. I don't know. But that's the way we are, isn't it? But sometimes we have these very, very strenuous times. But anyway, what an effort. When 30,000 more of the Gideon's first army melted away and only 300 were left. Oh, Oh, I hear you saying on the radio, oh, that seems like a little thing. All he had to do was stand on the word, stand fast. Yes, and in answer to that, I think probably you'd be one of those 30,000 quoting scriptures while you were running away from the battle. So many people are so good at quoting scriptures while they're running away. How many are hearing this? Oh, it says in the Word, according to this and according to that. I'm a little leery of someone that's always quoting verses. And I never see them doing anything. And then also Gideon and his 300 went down at night against 150, it says, Midianites, with lamps and pitchers and trumpets, and that was their only weapons. How many in here would have faith to believe God would defeat the enemy with that kind of armament? Like banging a bread pan or a pie tin with a spoon against H-bombs. I want you to believe me, people. When I say a whole lot of teaching in the last 15 years has gone out about faith, but very little faith has been exercised in the pursuing, let's say, position. It's always in a sit position, claim position, sit position, seminar position, tomb position. No pursuing. No pursuing. And there's so many teachings out about faith. People have ruined their eyes reading about faith. They're wearing the bottoms of like Coke bottles. You know what I mean? Their eyes look like, you feel like some kind of a bug when they look at you. But no pursuing. Now believe me, walking in faith is not child's play. When you say, I believe God can do this and thus and so and so. And though a simple faith exercise from day to day about ordinary things is not to be despised, yet I believe there come down the line special moments when you must have faith in the faith of God's elect. It's going to tell on your whole body. I can remember them. This was two years ago now, three coming up. I had made a plea on TV, on several channels, and one got hooked up and it went nationwide, a plea for this church to stay alive and for this mission to continue on. And I looked into the camera, I looked into the TV setup myself, and I started to weep. I looked that bad. I did not recognize myself. Superhuman effort. Exercise faith, I'm talking about, in God. Are you hearing it tonight? An elect faith. Also, I thought these men also had experienced the strain of great success. And all God flooded the church with success. Not a nickel came in from anywhere. A gambler came in from Vegas and he said, God spoke to me while I was down there at one of the tables to bring you $500, and that's what I got out of it. God only reached one person. And later on, I found out that several people, the Lord had spoken to several hundreds of people, but nobody came. And And so then I had the strain right after the success. I had a success and God took me out of it. Oh God, I said, thank you. But now I had the strain of the success. I thought, oh, this is so like Gideon's army. Stand still and see the mighty hosts dividing into parties and beginning to slay one another. And all the enemies, they begin to slay one another, cut each other up and cut their heads off. And so I saw the enemy, spiritually speaking, fall apart suddenly. And I thought, oh, what joy that must have filled these 300 men. I'll tell you one thing, if I've experienced God's victory and been involved in it, I walk away every time totally drained. Totally drained. I remember about praying about finances, and a guy came in and he looked over the church and so on like that. And I didn't have my glasses on. And we really needed money. See, money goes through here, it goes just like through a funnel. And I was going through this hassle. And the guy came in with his wife and another fellow, and he had written a check, and I thought, it must say $1,000 on there. It couldn't say $10,000 on there. It just couldn't. And it did. Right after that guy left, I sat down, and I was totally, physically, and mentally drained. Not depressed, but totally physically and mentally drained. It's kind of like standing for hours rigid, your neck and the veins sticking out. And your knees are stiff, and your legs are stiff, and your ankles are stiff, and your rump is stiff, and your arms are stiff, and your neck is stiff, and your head is stiff. All of a sudden you get the command, relax. Boy, you're tired. Well, they say, you haven't done anything, but you're under that terrible strain. And these men were under a terrible strain. Whew. How many are hearing this? To see the enemy fall apart suddenly. For victory to come all at once. You come away totally drained. Well, let's say this, wrung out. You ever felt wrung out? I think it takes the very soul out of a man to see God at work. And to be himself the instrument in the Lord's hands. I believe these 300 men had endured a great strain upon their very faith. And they had also had that which is greater strain still, the triumph of their faith in God. Having done all, stand and see the hand of the Lord work. And not only the hand of the Lord work, but the hand of the Lord work through you is a tremendous strain on you. And so then, exhausted and worn out, they were ready to faint. And besides that, remember, these men had put forth great strength also. It wasn't merely a mental wear and a mental tear that they had to endure. No, but the Bible says there was an actual conflict with the enemy, an actual work. Oh, sometimes there's actual work in ministry. But first, the Bible says that the Midianites killed one another. Now, did you know in the end that's going to happen? There's going to come a great and awful noise, and the enemy is going to turn upon one another and jab and gouge and pierce one another. But anyway, at first, the Midianites had started slashing and cutting at one another and killing one another. But after that, the Bible says they took flight. And Gideon's army, it says, pursued them. And they pursue them because thousands of them had to be killed. And so here we have the message. They were faint, yet they still pursued. And I believe when we give ourselves wholly and we give ourselves entirely to God's work, although we will never, ever, never, ever get tired of it, we will get tired in it. I don't get tired of God's work. I get tired in God's work. I'm kind of suspicious. I believe if a man never tired himself with working for God, well, then I should think he would never has done any work that was worth doing. No, Christian, you are going to be tired. There's an actual work. But I think we should be faint and yet be pursuing and winning souls. And also the same with feeding the hungry. I don't think we can ever, ever expect God's blessings on our work until every faculty of our being is aroused. Until we do everything. We get physically into it, mentally into it, spiritually into it. Until all of our strength is put forth into a divine service. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and ye shall have rest. Now, I mean, if this is the case with some of us, it's no wonder that sometimes we just get faint. And you'll have someone come up and say, you know something? You really need to take a vacation. Well, that's what the other people did when they left Mount Gilead. They took a vacation. No, I'm talking about being faint yet pursuing. Hope I'm getting this across. I think this is the case with us, isn't it? That we can work until we're ready to faint and yet pursue. But anyway, look at these men. They had marched a long march, and I'm going to lock it up here. They fought all night in a battle. Then it says they pursued all of the next day. See, it's the mopping up after the victory that tires us out. That's like we had Senior Citizens Day, or we get done with dinner, and it seems like, and it's real busy that day. Well, then after dinner, it seems like everybody gets sort of faint-like. Do you ever notice that? And they said, you sit down for just a little while, and you get kind of faint. But you got to get up and pursue it. Huh? Doesn't say you're going to go very fast, but you keep pursuing. Doesn't say you're going to mop the floor like crazy. Da, 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 hold that tiger. No, it doesn't say that. But you do mop the floor. Hold that tiger, rub, rub. Hold that tiger, rub, rub. Hold that tiger. Feet yet pursuing. Sometimes it's hard. There's a whole lot of things that come into your life, and you say, my God, I can't go another step. You're faint. That's all right. Don't worry about it. But yet, be pursuing. Going after, like my mother would say, keep on and keep it on. My dad would say, move it up. Push him yourself a little bit. Push him yourself. See, I believe the fighting after the battle is often the most severe. It's that cleanup work that gets to us. I think the toughest part of the fight is often after the enemy begins to flee. Because we don't know what to do with our free time. I think it's easier to have your head chopped off, in other words, than to die a slow roast. Time will tell on you, won't it? It's that month after year that many Christians can't handle. It's that pursuing. Now, you listening on the radio, never ever think that if you've grown so much in experience that you couldn't fall. That's when you will. See, that old age and experience also makes fools of those who rely on it instead of Christ. Come as a child. We also read here where the men took no food. They had no refreshment. Never ever think you can do without spiritual food. Never ever think that you don't have to pray. Never get disgusted and say, I'm not going to pray and I'm not going to have any spiritual food and that's it. And get spoiled and not eat your spiritual food. Never ever think, you never get to that point in your life when you just give up. Maybe you're mad at the whole Christian community. I don't know. But I'm talking to you as an individual. Never ever leave that spiritual food. Never ever leave that. Don't leave that out. That's the most important ingredient. Well, I got to say this. I mean, what child of God that actually engages faithfully in the work and warfare in this life does not at times feel faint? I mean, stand in the position of one who finds himself deserted by those who seem to be your friends. Stand in that position. Who will glide away at the smell of the enemy's sweat. Maybe your heart will grow a little sick as you think about all the cowards who left before the great battle. Maybe your soul is ready to faint as one after another crawl into the woodwork. Maybe when it comes to holding up Christ Jesus on your job, and so let's leave this first point here tonight, the weakness of the flesh. These 300 men were faint yet pursuing. Oh, they marched, but they marched slowly, but yet they marched. And you, preacher, and myself, maybe sometimes the going gets a little tough, but that's when the tough get going. Maybe he can only strike out feebly, but yet we strike out. But also notice, yet that they were faint, they were not faint in their heart. They still believed, they still had the brave stomach for the fight, they never wavered one iota in their resolution. They were going to conquer the enemies of their country or die trying. They wanted to completely do the job. They could have said, let us go home. We got them on the run. Let's just get out of here. No, they wanted to finish the job. That's exactly where I stand here today. I want to finish this job. Well, what's your job? Finish the job. I want to finish my life doing the job. And that's when you're finished. When you drop over dead. Well, that's simple enough to follow, ain't it? When are you going to get done? The guy asked me. When are you ever going to get done? I said, when I finish the job. Well, when's that going to be? When I drop dead. When I'm finished. When I look unto God and I say, Father, unto thee I commit my spirit. Then that's the end. See, because if you allow the inner conflicts to take over in your life, and they take precedence over the cause. What do you got? You got yourself. And the cause is yourself. That's a mighty dry desert. How many are hearing what I'm preaching here tonight? God, I hope I'm getting it across. Well, that's quit. We've made him go home. Why were these men driven forward? I believe they were driven forward by hope. Why are you driven forward? You have a hope. Well, doesn't hope keep you going? What keeps you going? A hope. Not only a hope, but a blessed hope. Right? What are you going for? You're going for it. Well, I'm going for a heavenly home. Now, I'm not going to stand here. I want to wait. I'm so depressed. I want to go to my heavenly home. No, I'm not saying that at all. Let's face it. If you have the right attitude towards this thing and you've given your whole life, well, then you can be happy. If you haven't given your whole life, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be mad. Well, that's why you're miserable, because you haven't given your whole life. And your life is miserable. You are miserable. Right? But if you give your whole life, don't you see? If you give your whole life to the cause of Christ, and even though you're faint, but you're faint yet you're pursuing, then you're going against the weakness of the flesh and you're moving after the thing, and you'll gain power as you go. That's where the rest is, folks. That's where the peace is. In denying yourself, when you look in the mirror in the morning, you look at that miserable, flop-lipped face, and you look in the mirror and you say, face, I'm not going to pursue you. We're not going to pursue this. My mother used to say that to me. I'd be arguing with her. She said, we're not going to belabor this, and we're not going to pursue this any further. Have I made myself crystal clear? She said that before Nixon did. Crystal clear. And then I would have to agree with her because she had a frying pan up in the air, you know what I mean? Are you listening, Ma? Probably. Okay, we got him on the run. Let's go home. God here has given us a mission ministry right down here on the north side. You may grow weary. We may become faint. But let us keep on pursuing. Don't let Satan speak through your friends. You listening on the radio, maybe your friends are telling you, why don't you give up? Lay down, have a drink. Take off your armor. Go back home. The enemies are running, so now let's just rest a while. Let's counsel one another for a year or two more. But for goodness sakes, let's don't enter the work. Let somebody else take on the Great Commission. Enough is enough. Let's just sit here under the tree and yell claims at God. And so these men would sit down and claim that Gideon's army of 300 would just get themselves all pooped out pursuing. Don't listen to this kind of thing. Don't you forever for 1 minute think that you'll get any rest by listening to that kind of talk. Seems like everybody that I meet is looking for a word. I have one for the whole body of Christ, and I hope a lot of you are listening. Fight, the Bible says, the good fight of faith. Never weary, the Bible says, in doing well. Become part of that Gideon's army. Instead of that 30,000 that took off, they took off and they went on to Spectator Mountain. Don't listen to the devil, and don't listen to the Antichrist, and don't listen to this thing. Get yourself pleading for souls. Get yourself going out after the victory, victory after victory after victory after victory, and don't put your mind on yourself and your condition. Keep your eyes stayed on Christ. Maybe you've stood up for the truth and it cost you losses and crosses. Maybe you've been brought under suspicion and misrepresentation. Maybe you've lost some of your dearest friends and now they talk about you. like you are a water-lapping dog? Maybe this all tempts you to say, I give up. Maybe you'll say to yourself, let happen what happened, who cares? I'll just move on to greater, greener pastures and put up a privacy fence so nobody will ever bother me again. No, you can't put one up. They'll come crawling over the top of that fence. Let me give one last point here. Maybe there's an example here we can learn from these fellas. Serve the Lord. That's a point right there. Serve the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Know that you are saved forever and forever and forever. Serve Him with a whole heart. Let all your goods be His goods, and all your alms be His alms, and all your talents be His talents. All that you can invent, all that you can achieve, all of them you must give to Him. All of it. Don't keep any of it. It'll just make you miserable. After all, is there any part that we should reserve for ourselves? Let's serve the Lord every moment, even though that sometimes it may be painful. Even to think about it might be wearisome. Are you hearing this message? Oh, God, hear the whole thing. Some people only pray when they feel like it. Some only help when they feel like it. Some only give when they feel like it. If I only preached when I felt like it, I wouldn't preach a whole lot. Did you know that? If I only worked when I felt like it, I wouldn't work a whole lot. If I only pursued when I felt like pursuing, I wouldn't pursue a whole lot. So I say this tonight, and I think we're going to have to come into this thing. Serve when you have to drag yourself into battle. It's awful easy to serve when the hurrahs are all around you, but how about when the insults of crucify abound? How about when everything is going down all around you? How about when your whole life seems like it's falling apart? Preachers, and I'll close with this, I think we are to be like the standard bearers. Hold them up. I think preachers ought to be coached in having done all stand and not to fall. Don't faint, and oh my God, if you are going to faint, be faint, but keep pursuing. I probably talked to a good number of Gideon people here tonight. But be hopeful when you're the most feeblest, just like these men were. When there were only a few of them, when they were faint, when they were faint, yet they expected a victory. Time is passing, don't you know? It's like an hourglass. In the hourglass, the time is running out. So go ahead and be faint. Be faint, but yet be pursuing. Be good and tired, and yet be good and hopeful. I hope you got something out of this message tonight. It's all about, it's okay to be faint, but yet be pursuing. Because if you don't pursue, what do you got? What have you got if you're not going after? What have you got if you don't keep pursuing? What else is there? What else is there but going from victory to victory to victory with a whole lot of defeats in the middle? Now, I know that's negative preaching, they'll say. But there are. It doesn't matter, does it? Because all things are working together for good. Do you know that scripture wouldn't even be in there if there weren't a lot of defeats? And what it's really saying in the original is, well, don't worry about that defeat. It's all working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You wouldn't even have to have that in there. If everything was a victory, you wouldn't even need that scripture. Because then everything would just work out. You wouldn't even have to have faith. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody listening on the radio?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 215. That was part 2 to Don't Faint. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. If you missed part one of this message, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and then within those show notes are scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to go to those links and read those scriptures. Have a great week. We're going to be closed on Monday for the holiday, Columbus Day. Have a safe weekend. We'll see you back here next Friday. The messages, part one, works. God bless you.
Get ready, you got to know.